This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with my interim co-host, Pete Stoughton. Our guest, Tracy Fober, is an athletic development coach, a physical therapist, a mentor. She says movement is medicine and the foundation of physical preparation. In her private practice, Iron Maven Performance Health, she's worked with athletes and patients of all levels of ability. She brings her expertise gained from years of working with athletes and has promoted the concept of physical health for life and sport, integrating knowledge and practical experience from the fields of exercise science, rehabilitation, and the sport of weightlifting. Tracy worked with U.S. Ski and Snowboard for 4 years leading up to the Olympics in 2018. Tracy, it's great to have you in the studio, no less. Welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
First of all, I have to say that Iron Maven is about the coolest name of an athletic performance business.
Maven means one who is knowledgeable in a certain field. So like the food maven or the wine maven, I decided that I would like to be one who's knowledgeable, particularly in resistance training and strength training. So I thought Iron Maven
I
would
like
be a good
it.
Choice.
That's funny. I always thought there was a tie-in. There was some sort of female nuance in there.
I don't know if I believe the word is a Yiddish word. I don't know if it has a gender to it or not, but it might.
Okay, well, good. So the Iron Maven has been in existence for how long, and what was the genesis behind leaving U.S. Ski and Snowboard to start your own gig?
So Iron Maven started actually back in 2004 in St. Louis when I opened a private practice there, and then I had my own facility there up until 2014, and then got the opportunity to come out here and work with U.S. Ski and Snowboard from 2014 to 2018, and then decided it was time for me to go back into private practice and see what I could do in becoming a member of this community more and to help all of the wonderful people here who are so active and to just have a little bit more control in my setting. And I just turned 50, so kind of looking to, you know, really do important work with people, whether it's helping other women in coaching or just helping people stay healthy. That was my goal, and I thought that this would be the best way that I could do that right now at this time in my life.
And that's so exciting. And we have such an active community. Yes. I'm sure you've recognized
yes.
that a little bit. How does that stand out differently than St. Louis? Or what are you finding?
Well, there are just remarkable people here. The fitness level and the amount of activity that people do, the intensity of the activity is incredible. I raced on a road cycling racing team in St. Louis, and so I had wonderful friends there who were very, very active. But when you come here, you see, you know, six-year-olds running in little trail races, and you see the trailside bike parks, and then you have couples in their 70s, maybe in their 80s, riding alongside you on the paved bike trails, or maybe even on the single-track trails. So that is just really inspiring. And I've had the opportunity to work with people who are big backcountry skiers and who also want to dominate the disc golf scene in their 60s. So that is a really, it's a really fun thing to help those kind of people and to help people who are willing to invest in themselves from a physical health standpoint.
So that's definitely a reflection of our community and many that we walk and work alongside. How do you integrate some of your core concepts and some of your practices in working with some of the parkites?
Well, my kind of philosophy is that whether you're working with an Olympian or you're working with a weekend warrior or someone who's rehabilitating their knee from a basic arthroscopy, you're using the same concepts and the same principles of movement. You're just dosing that movement in different intensities and different volumes. So we all move throughout our whole life from the time we're small children to the time, you know, we're in our geriatric years. So the idea is that you want to take principles of physical literacy and movement competency and teach those to people and give them the tools that they can use to take care of their movement system, our musculoskeletal system, and, well, basically your muscles and joints, kind of in the same way when you go to the dentist, and the dental hygienist teaches you how to care for your teeth, okay? Movement is like floss, right? You're flossing and brushing. You're doing daily maintenance of your movement system, and that's kind of what I try to impart to people, that they have to invest in themselves, and I can't do that for them, but I can give them the tools to do that. And the best tools they have are right here. We have the outdoors. We have vitamin G, which is basically gravity, and then your body. And you just learn to use that and to be confident in what you're doing and confident to use the facilities that are provided in this community, whether it be the trails or the recreational facilities or the pools or the bike parks. You can go use those, have fun, and keep your body healthy.
I love what you say, is that movement is medicine, and you talk about this movement literacy. And we know that, you know, sitting is the new smoking. So many of us sit, especially now that from a very young age, kids in second grade are getting computers to take home with them. And so we sit in front of screens for many, many hours a day, and we know that we need to get up at least for a little bit every hour and do something. So without that movement being our medicine, what happens when we then try to jump on our bikes and ride a century bike ride if we're not moving daily?
Your body adapts. So the positions you're in and the positions you're not in, your body, the tissues adapt. Muscles shorten, joint capsules tighten up, things change position, your spine maybe rounds a little bit. So you lose maybe some elasticity, you lose some flexibility, you lose some mobility, and then you try to go out and do those things, and joints and tissues kind of rebel because they're asked to do things they're not prepared for. So you're not preparing to do the tasks, the physical tasks that you want to do. So by being still, tissues learn to be still. If you want to move, you need to have the tissues be exposed to the stimulus of movement, good movement, that's going to prepare the body to do what you're going to ask it to do.
So we were talking a bit ago in the green room about, you know, as you age, the importance of strength and resistance training. And so many people in this area, in Summit and Wasatch Counties and Park City, because it's so beautiful outside. I mean, look at it. I'm looking out the studio window at this gorgeous mountain. We want to stay outside. We don't want to go into the gym. And yet, we can benefit so hugely by doing it. So how would you convince someone who, like me, who I just don't want to go inside?
First of all, I would invite you in, and I would tell you that I can give you 4 to 6 different movements that you can do in your home, you can do at one of the rec facilities, or you could go into the park or go into one of the fields in this community and do. You can do it at the top of the half pipe if you needed to. You could do it in the lodge if you needed to prepare yourself to ski. So basically it's just giving you tools that need no extra equipment. It's just you moving your body in gravity, and to help you see that over time and help you feel that when you do these things, you feel better, but that it's a minimal outlay financially. It's an investment of your time and effort to learn what you need to do, and that it doesn't require any special equipment if we do the right things.
So I've been coming off of a knee surgery and have been trying to be purposeful about following up and making sure that I'm ready for my training season. And I've run into some situations where I'm doing squats, where I've got my rubber bands out and I'm doing my I don't know what the names are, the leg where it goes out. And people often at work or wherever give me this funny look. What are you doing? But if I were out in my short shorts or spandex to ride, I wouldn't get quite the looks here in Park City. How do we normalize some of that movement on a regular basis throughout the day?
Well, I think you have to just kind of, you have to find value in it. So when you know, when you start to notice that you feel better and you're stronger, you will kind of get over a little bit of the stupid exercise fear. And my husband and I, we joke about this because we've both coached and we've both had to do dry land stupid exercises. And so I get that. We know that. So it is when you feel the results that you will be like, I really don't care what other people think right now. This is my obligation to myself to do these things, and come and join me, see what it feels like. And then people go, oh, hey, that's kind of cool. That's hard. And hey, I actually feel a little bit better. I feel a little bit taller. I feel like I can go up the stairs a little bit better now. So I think it just takes people, it really takes you to feel the result first, and then you can find value, and then you'll invest the time. And that's kind of the key for me, I think.
Yeah, certainly. I've thought about wearing a shirt that says maybe purposeful movement or something like that. So.
I have a good friend who refers to our tribe as movement pilgrims. We're part of the movement pilgrim tribe, and it's a special tribe. So,
if you're just joining us, our guest is Iron Maven Tracy Fober. Her business is called Iron Maven Performance Health. How many people do you have in your organization that are, is it just you? Or?
It is just me. Okay. I'm a one-woman show.
And you, I mean, and it's okay because you're an athletic development coach, you're a physical therapist, and a mentor.
Yes.
How often, well, and another thing that you do is you write this blog, and a lot of it is in support of not only women as clients, but women who are also mentors and coaches and trainers and things like that. What is it about women? What do we bring to the training realm that maybe men don't?
We know that from the research that organizations benefit from diversity in general, gender diversity, ethnic diversity, background diversity. So anyone who brings a differing viewpoint is going to contribute, most likely in a positive manner. Women bring sometimes more of a, you know, I don't want to say a kinder or gentler, but maybe have a tendency to listen. You know, half maybe or more of some of the athletes we're working with are female. And I've had many talks with female athletes who have voiced great thanks for having a female coach to come to, whether it's about life issues or about specific coaching techniques or fears of going off big jumps. My coach doesn't understand that I need more warm up for this jump than the male athletes on my team. Just an understanding and a kind of empathy for athletes, maybe even for younger athletes that sometimes male coaches don't have, or that because things may have come more easily to them physically. And sometimes as females, we need a little bit more confidence. We want to ask questions. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this at this time? And female coaches will have a little bit more empathy for that at times, I think.
Hmm. You worked with US Ski and Snowboard for about 4 years, as we've already mentioned. And I'm curious, if you're able to, it's a big generalization, but are there any clues or keys to what makes an Olympic athlete tick that the rest of us just don't have?
The elite athlete has a great love for what they do, an intense passion. They have, in these sports, and I would characterize everything at US Ski and Snowboard, even the cross-country athletes, like, they have, they're not fear, you know, they have no fear. They're fearless. And they're willing to do what it takes to win. They're fiercely competitive. and they're willing to invest the time and the effort to do what it takes. Particularly, I mean, when the pinnacle of your sport is only once every 4 years, that takes a great amount of effort and time. I mean, years of their life where they're not going to college, they're not doing other things, they're not getting married maybe, they're not doing these other things that their friends are doing. And so they just have a great commitment and a great passion for what they're doing.
Certainly, I've seen that amongst, you know, many of the Olympians here in our community, that drive. So how do we, as, you know, everyday users of the trails, focus our energy and time to make those purposeful movements, to make that progress that we want, without maybe perhaps making that full commitment of our soul and balancing life? What would be your advice to you know, us?
I think the most important thing is to be consistent in your efforts, in your training, and then to have purpose, to have, a mentor of mine talks about planned performance training. So you have a little bit of planning to your training. Like if you're going to do the point to point, maybe you want to plan a little bit for that.
No way.
And, you know, I have learned, I didn't learn to ski until I came here. And that was really a challenge for me. And for me, it was learning to deal with fear. Like all my sports, I'd never been afraid, but learning to ski, I had to really overcome some fear issues. So sometimes you just might need a little bit help in planning what you're going to do, planning how you're going to approach something. And that's all it takes. And then consistency in working toward that goal and understanding what are the demands of that event you're going to do, and what are the chinks in your armor, if you have any, and then how do we shore those up and how do we get you ready to do that?
We've just about run out of time, unbelievably. Where do we find you?
You can find me at 6430 North Business Park Loop Road, Suite E, in the Silver Creek Commons business development area, which is at the, I believe it's the Silver Creek exit by the Home Depot.
Oh, okay.
Home Depot back there behind the gas station.
Ah.
Yes, where that new development is going.
Is yeah. It near the dentist?
I'm near Park City Signs and Park City Jiu-Jitsu.
Right.
Back there.
Yes.
Okay, good to know. When you have a street name like North Business Park Loop,
right.
It's kind of hard to identify where exactly that is.
Yes.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Your website is
www.ironmaven.net.
Okay. And I just have to say, Pete, one of Tracy's clients approached me, handed me a card, and said, "You have to interview this person on the mountain life. She has changed my life." So there's testament to what you're doing for people out there. So keep up the good work.
Excellent.
Thank you.